11:02, it's your time, and thank you, Wintuk. Thank you, Wintuk, for closing the mic to this side of the world. And Francina said, you must budget. You're not doing this time. But Francina, what if you don't have money to budget? What if you don't have money, you know, or a little money to budget? Yeah? All right, but even if it's little, you must budget. Okay. Probably Francina knows what I'm talking about. Very good morning to you, my dear people. Good morning, and welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station, and thank you for joining us, and thanks for making sure that you tune in for every program that we bring to you. So, yeah, hope you were listening to Special Times. There were actually good conversations there. And if you didn't, you just miss out. You just miss out. So make sure that every Saturday you tune in for Social Times. All right, there's always really interactive and very engaging topic that is discussed there. So our time is about 3 minutes, and it's the time we call the Mental Health Hours. Well, don't run away. We don't run away. This is not the time that we think you're crazy or something else, and we are only inviting those we think that they are crazy. No. This is Mind Matter. So time now, between now and the hour of 1 o'clock, we call this a mental health hours, but it's a time. It's mind matters. So what we look at during this time, we normally just, you know, discuss your mind. That's all what we do. We discuss what you think, how you feel, and how you make choices in life. And all this is actually affected by your mind, isn't it? So we look at those, you know, psychological patterns and social factors that actually affect how you think, how you feel, and how you normally act or behave or, you know, or make choices in life. Because that's what make who you are. And today, let's say, for example, in 15 minutes from now, next week on the 14th of November, there will be a World Diabetes Day, which comes first, World Day Diabetes. It's a Diabetes World Day. All right, it will be Diabetes World Day. And we will have someone, Sister Manuel, from Central Hospital, to talk to us about what's going to happen next week and how the significance of that, of commemorating that day, and also probably how we need to take ourselves when it comes to diabetes. So make sure that you remain tuned for that interview coming up around 4:15, just in 10 minutes or so, coming up in few minutes. All right. So, and today we also looking at, remember what I said, that this is Mind Matters, and on Mind Matters, we actually, you know, here I help you and those who come through. I help you, you know, to protect your mind. First off, to protect your mind, protecting it in the way that so that you think well, so that your mind, you are emotionally well, that you're well emotionally. And talk a little bit about physical one, but mostly we concentrated that you are well emotionally. As we can see, when you look at what's happening in our country, and especially what's happening to very young people, there are many people who are actually taking their own life because of what they are going through in life. There comes a time when you just think, this is too much for me, you know. And remember what we have been talking from last week and how your mind can lie to you. You remember that? The things that we went through. I hope, and I really hope that you were following, because by now you would know when is your mind actually lying to you. So you would know what we are talking about. So yeah, we will then continue in the same line. One thing that I want really to bring out today for you after the interview, or maybe not even after that, we can already start it. It's about 7 minutes now. It's two principles actually three principles, okay? And when we're going to discuss that in terms of your, we're going to look at that in terms of your personality, and we're going to look at that in terms of your perceptions, and what is the other things? And in terms of your decision-making, how does it actually influence your decision-making? And the social influence, like peer influence or cultural influence. So we're going to look at that in those light, all right? In those aspect. But there are always, and these are the principle that I always work, on. Principle one, you know? Three principles. One, principle one is that the way you feel, all right? Whatever way, whatever you're feeling at any point in time, the way you feel is entirely your own doing. Okay? So if you don't, let's have that premise, let's have that principle one. If you don't agree with that principle, so those are my principle, but they're also scientific principle anyway, so I wouldn't really claim that is my principle. Yeah, so the way you feel is entirely your own doing. Now, what we're trying to do here, what I'm going to try to help you is actually to shift, you know, it's a whole question of mind, to shift your mind. It's mind shift. So it's not what others are doing to you. It's not the situation that is responsible for what you're feeling. It's not the event that is responsible for what you, it's not the issues you're going through that, that are responsible, you know, that are doing, they are not the one who's doing anything to you. You know, those can be, all right? They are triggers of what you, can feel, of what you can respond, of what you can react. So these are triggers. Others are triggers. Situation are triggers. Events, issues, you know, those are triggers that on which we react to. But your reaction is yours. And that's why this principle, the way you feel is entirely your own doing. But there is the reasons why I say this is a principle behind that, because behind that is that is the whole, it's a whole question of control. Whole question of control, that when we're saying that the way you feel is entirely on your, is your own doing, it's entirely your own doing, that means you are in control of changing the way you feel. Because if you say the way you feel actually depends on what others are doing to you, on the situation you find yourself, on an event or issues, then it means that you're a victim of your own situation. You're a victim of others. You're a victim of whatever event you find, your circumstances you find yourself in. So, which means there's nothing I can do unless the situation change. And in some cases, the situation might not be able to change, might not change. So therefore you become, that's a mentality that you're a victim. And that's what we want to change. And it's true. It's not just that we want to change that mentality, that mindset, that whatever you're going through, whatever you feel, the way you feel, this is the principle. The way you feel is entirely your own doing. You're doing that yourself. All right? You want to argue with that principle? You can come through later on. All right? The second principle is our emotions. Our emotional response now, our emotional response, the way we respond, they are actually shaped and influenced by our conditioning. The way you respond, because the way you respond is totally different from the other person. Same thing might happen to you, the same thing that happened to the other person, but the way you respond to that is totally different. Have you ever asked yourself, why would I have responded differently from how the other person would have responded or have responded? Let's to say for example, two girls have been dumped, all right? Normally boys are the ones that are dumped in most often. Okay, two guys that are dumped. So one actually wouldn't even eat. No, you know, how can I be, how can this happen to me? You know, one wouldn't even eat, have several days thinking, this can't happen. You know, and then the other one would think, well, what a heck. there are so many fishes in the sea. you see, that's why I say, now that principle is that our emotion, our emotional response are shaped, right? Are shaped or influenced by our conditioning. That what are that conditioning? Either we are being conditioned by how we are brought up, all right? So how we experience, how what we have experienced, what we have gone through in life, and also from our societal norms, all right? Our societal norms can also condition how we respond to event, to situation, to issues, and so on. So that's principle two, that our emotions and emotional response are shaped or influenced by our conditioning. So now, the most things that you need to know, excuse me. Now, what you need to ask yourself is that, why do I feel in the way I feel different from the other person? Why the way I'm feeling is actually different from the other person, from how the other person feels? So now, it's because, now think of this, okay, maybe it's because of the experience that I, because kind of the experience that you went through, or maybe it's the way you were brought up, or maybe it's in the society that you're living in. All right. Now, if this is now, I want you to understand this. So, because this, now we tend to think that the way you, of course, the way you feel and the way you would respond, you're emotionally responding, it depending on your experience, depending on your societal norms, depending on your conditioning, that it's true to you. Do you understand? That is very true to you, but it's not universal. What is true to you is not necessarily true to everybody, because they will be also responding in the way they, how they are conditioned, how they, through what they have gone through, through the experience that they have gone through, and also through maybe their societal norms and habits and whatever the and customs. Do you understand? So when you have that understanding, you will actually grow the empathy. You'll be able to be empathetic, because you understand that other person may be responding based on their conditioning, not from the way how you see things, not from the way how you were brought up. And the third principle is that now our emotional response. So our emotional response to a situation, to an event, to an issue is 100% in our control. So you are not a victim. It is in your control. It's you who will actually respond or react. So it's your choice. It's not that I have no choice. I really have no choice. No, it is your choice. No matter where you think that you have no choice, you always have a choice. Okay? If there is a gun put in your head to betray somebody and you betray them, you made that choice, because you have a choice to die or not to betray the other person. Do you understand? You have a choice not to betray your country, or by dying, say, okay. It's a choice. If you betray your country, you still can't say, no, I didn't have a choice. Otherwise, they could kill me. Being killed is a choice. Eh? It is a choice. Eh? So there are those who made that choice. There are those who prefer to die. Said, okay, I'm going to fight for this country, and I choose to go. Imagine the people who the plain combatant, for example, or any other soldiers in life. Eh? So who decided, okay, I'm going to fight. That's a choice they make. And the chances were that he's going to die was 70%. And he knows that. There's 70% that I'm going to die. Only 30% that you may come back, you know, you may go back still alive. And depending how many times you come through, that becomes less and less and less. But it's a choice that you make. You understand? You can't say, I didn't have a choice. You do have a choice. All right. So we're going to continue this conversation, but let's get to Sister Summer, and then have a conversation in terms of diabetes It's all right. Stay tuned. While we contact, while we get to Sister, let me give you, I haven't heard this song for a while, Diamond, and featuring Davido, Number One. Good morning, and welcome back to Mind Matters Show. And this morning, we want to, as I told you, we want to talk about an incredible, important issues that affect millions of people around the world and right here in Namibia. We're talking about diabetes. So with World Diabetes Day just around the corner on November the 14th, maybe it is a time for all of us to reflect, to pause, and take action on this growing health challenge. Now, joining us today is Sister Samuel, a nurse from Windhoek Central Hospital. Sister Samuel is here to help us unpack the significance of World Diabetes Day, the theme for this year, diabetes across life stages, and how this can make a real difference in how we approach diabetes care in Namibia. So welcome, good morning, Sister Samuel, and welcome to Mind Matters.
Good morning, and good morning to the listeners as well.
All right. So let's start from the very beginning. There's a sound of here that is too much for my side. Just hold on. All right. Okay. So let's start from the with the basics. Why is it important to commemorate World Diabetes Day every year?
Yeah, good question. Firstly, we need to understand why the commemoration on this specific day.
Mm.
Because on this specific day, one gentleman called Sir Frederick Banting, with a colleague, Charles Best, and discovered insulin in 1922. All right. On this day is now the best day of Sir Frederick Banting. And this day is now commemorated globally, not only in Namibia, not only in Africa, but globally.
Yeah.
And it's also commemorated in around 160 countries.
Ooh, yeah.
So we are reaching, we want to reach a billion people to raise awareness about diabetes and its complications and its symptoms and its management.
Yeah. You said this gentleman discovered insulin?
This gentleman discovered.
Why is that significant to diabetes?
Yeah, because remember the insulin also. The insulin is a major factor in diabetes. It's a major factor in diabetes. When there is no insulin to bring our sugar levels down, then people are then diagnosed with diabetes. So the sugar remains higher in the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also the significance of the day is that, as I said earlier, we are commemorating the diabetes so that we can create global awareness and to educate the public about the risks, the symptoms, the complications, and the prevention, as well as the management of diabetes across the all stages and across the world.
Mm-hmm. So now, what is the significance of the theme for this year? Now, diabetes across life stages. Is this the theme only for Namibia, or is it a theme that is being celebrated, commemorated worldwide? But how does it relate then to the current state of diabetes in Namibia?
Yes, very, very good question. Remember, as you said, we are part of a global community. And when we are commemorating these days, there's always a theme. So WHO and also the International Federation of Diabetes, they always have a theme that we need to focus on because there is a lot of that is going on around diabetes. So they normally have then, they choose a theme. And this theme across ages, meaning that diabetes can affect everybody, from the children, from the middle class, from the young people, adolescents, and the elderly. Everybody can get affected and everybody can get diabetes. That's why we want to commemorate and focus on all the people, from children until the elderly.
Really? I thought, you know, diabetes only for those who eat meat. What about children? Children don't eat meat. They're very small. They're infant, what?
Yes, because we have two types of diabetes. The type 1 is mainly 10% of the population, which is now the children.
Yeah.
And even babies, infants, from infants until the ages of 35 years. So this is actually an autoimmune condition whereby, remember, we have antibodies, right, to protect our bodies against viruses and infections.
Yeah.
But now in this case, the autoimmune, the antibodies recognizes then the beta cells, which is supposed to produce insulin.
Mm-hmm.
Then these antibodies suspect now that these beta cells are foreign to the body, and then the antibodies destroy totally these beta cells. So they don't have any insulin at all, and there's nothing that you can do. You cannot prevent it because it's an autoimmune.
Yeah. So in children, then, okay, it's autoimmune. What does basically that mean? Because in children, would then they use the mother's antibodies to fight that? I'm not clear about that.
Because they don't have insulin. Remember, I spoke about insulin,
which
is a key factor in diabetes.
In diabetes, yeah.
Now what happens is that if the pancreas that is now having the responsibility to produce, then the insulin is not there.
Yeah.
So these kids are now put on insulin injections.
Uh-huh.
So they are pancreas or their beta cells are replaced now with the physical insulin that they need to inject themselves 3 times per day.
Is this something that is given to every child when they are born just to prevent that? Or is there any signs that you can see where now you said we need to put them on that kind of treatment?
No, that is a treatment. There is no prevention. As I said, it's an autoimmune and there's nothing that you can do about it, autoimmune. So it's something genetically. So we cannot do it. So what we normally do is to manage. So we are putting them on insulin to manage and to control their sugar levels.
Yeah, you have done that in some way, but I also want you still to explain what is diabetes for our listeners who might not fully understand the condition.
All right. So to dive in there, it's very, very important to understand what is diabetes. So this is a chronic condition. Remember when we talk about chronic conditions, it's those conditions that there is no specific cure.
Yeah.
We just need to manage it. And it's a lifestyle, it's a lifelong condition that we should live with it. So now, in this diabetes, when there's too much sugar, when there's too much sugar in the bloodstream, there's too much glucose in the bloodstream, the body cannot use the insulin, or the insulin is too small or insufficient, or there's nothing at all, then you can develop then what we call diabetes. And then it also has now, as I said earlier, we have type 1, which I explained, which accumulates to account for 10% of the population. And then we have now the type 2, which is now accounting for 90% of the population, which is now the insulin resistance or the small insulin to lower the blood sugar levels in the system. And then what happens also, over a long period of time, if these sugars are not controlled or are not lowered, then it leads to complications such as your blindness, heart attacks, strokes, losing a limb, and even you get kidney failure as well. So that is basically what diabetes is all about. So it's too much sugar in the bloodstream. When the insulin is not there to lower your blood sugar levels.
Now, when we talk about too much sugar, I think you have to make this very clear also to people. Do we refer, are we talking about the sugar that you put in your coffee, or what sugar are we talking about?
Yeah, when we talk about the increased levels of sugar in the body, it means that we have certain levels in the that is required. Remember the physiology, how God created us.
Yeah.
You need to have a certain level of amount of sugar in the bloodstream, which is needed for the functionality of the body.
Yeah.
But when
the sugar that we're talking about is the glucose, isn't it?
Yes, the glucose.
Yeah.
So when we talk about glucose, remember we can get physical glucose that we are eating as a sugar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we also derive our sugar from the food that we are eating.
Oh, okay.
So, example, let me give you an example of carbohydrates. When you eat your bread, when you eat your millipap, or you eat your rice, your macaronis, your spaghettis, and all those sugary things, when you eat it, like the bread, you eat it as bread.
Yeah.
2 hours later, when after digestion, it becomes glucose in the body, for you to get energy to be able to do your work. So, just imagine yourself, you are now having sugar already that is too much. Now you add these sugars that we say is now the carbohydrates.
Yeah.
2 hours later, it increases our sugar levels because we need to use the sugars. We need to use it for our energy.
Yeah.
And if we don't use the sugar for energy, later on these sugars are stored as what? They are stored as fat. And that's why we pick up weight.
Yeah.
And that's why at the end when we are talking about the risk factors is when we are picking up weight from this carbohydrate stored fat that predisposes us then to pick up weight, leading to obesity and then contributing then to diabetes.
Okay. Yeah. Now, how does diabetes then impact people at different life stages, from childhood to old age?
Very, very important to note, the most important thing really, the impact, the anxiety and depression. The impact also of psychological draining, physical draining. You just imagine somebody, you are diagnosed with diabetes, now you are put on injection.
Yeah.
You need to monitor, constant monitoring of what you are eating, constant monitoring of your medication, constant monitoring of checking your sugar levels, whether it's higher, whether it's low, before you inject.
Mm.
It's a work on its own, especially people that are injecting themselves, our type 1s. Who is the young people?
Yeah.
They need to monitor those sugar levels. Before eating, they need to check. After eating, they need to check.
Mm.
They need to inject themselves. They need to monitor whatever they are eating.
Yeah.
Before they decide they want to go and exercise, they
yeah.
need to. It's cumbersome. So, and it leads to really that anxiety, and they become anxious, they become depressed.
Yeah.
So those are impacting. And also on the physical impact as well, that you can talk about, is the complications that comes with it. The kidney failures, the heart failures,
mm.
the blindness, the losing of the limbs. So all those things are factors that really can impact physically, emotionally, and psychologically to the patients.
Yeah, it looks like there's, from what you're saying, there's quite a lot one have to manage. What are some of the biggest challenges that people face when it comes to managing diabetes, especially here in Namibia now?
Yeah, the monitoring, because most of them, they don't have monitoring equipment, like to test themselves. They are not given machines, especially our state patients, they are not given the machines to test for themselves.
Yeah.
The straps, they are expensive, the machines are expensive, the test straps are expensive. The medication, at least the state is providing
yeah.
for the treatment. Yeah, so that we can actually applaud the government, because they are given their injections, they are given their oral treatment, and they are given other management as well on how to manage them. They are taken care of by the state.
Okay, since you say it, we here in Namibia, they are not given the machine to monitor themselves. What is the strategies being used in Namibia to monitor?
Yeah, most of the time they go to their clinics when they are going for follow ups.
Mm.
They are tested at the clinics, and those that can.
Yeah.
Get machines. We try to solicit some here and there, and then we give to them. But 99% of our people really were struggling with that, and we are also in the pipeline with the ministry to work on that, especially for the type ones to be assisted in terms of the machines and steps. Because the type 1s are the ones that are really struggling. They need to monitor before eating. They need to, before they inject, they need to know their value.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe just a quick, we probably have said, but why is that important, actually monitoring before you do, or before you eat, or before you do exercise? Why?
Yeah, because it can also, let me talk in maybe simple language.
Exactly.
When you are, for instance, when you are exercising.
Yeah.
Because exercising can also help you to lower your sugar levels.
Uh-huh.
So if you exercise too much, your sugar levels might go down. Uh-huh. That we call hypoglycemic.
Yeah.
It might go down. So you need to know also how many minutes are you going, which exercise. Is it yoga? Is it cardio? Is it, all those affect the sugar levels at the end of the day. So you need to know, if I'm going for jogging, they reduce, because they know if I have to inject maybe 10 units, then if they are going to exercise, then they are going to lower their units, and not to give 10, but maybe to give themselves maybe 5. Because they are going to, when they are exercising, it's going to lower the sugar levels, and that's why it's very, very important. Also, it's a lifestyle for anybody who does not even have sugar, to also exercise, which is very, very important. And also why we say they must check it after eating or before they eat, because if the sugar levels maybe now you are about to eat,
yeah.
and your sugar levels is maybe now at a lower level, so you don't inject immediately. Then you eat first, and then you inject. So even if the sugar now levels are higher, and you are going to eat, so they are also going to regulate, you are going to regulate yourself. So the sugar is now maybe now 8.
Mm-hmm.
If I eat, after 2 hours, it will be 10. So then they also going to regulate themselves and say, okay, now if it's like this, I'm going to inject me small. Okay. Not, yeah, that is how they.
Is this kind of information that is actually given to the patient, a diabetic patient?
Yeah, most of the time when they are going to the dietitian, they go hand in hand with the dietitian, and this is also the info that I also do give to the people with diabetes, because I'm a diabetes coach by profession.
Okay.
Apart my specialty as a nurse, I do diabetes coaching. I've been doing it for the past 8 years now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have that information, we can
hear that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In your experience as a diabetic, you know, coach and nurse, what are the common misconceptions people have about diabetes?
Yeah, mostly people think diabetes for the rich.
We think that it's for those who can afford meat, you know, and this expensive food.
Yes, expensive food, yes. That is one of the misconceptions.
Yeah.
And then that most of people also think that diabetes is not serious, it's not a serious condition.
Mm-hmm.
And also eating, the people others say, no, if you eat a lot of sugar, if you eat a lot of fruits, and also now they also believe that no people with diabetic food that they are on the market that people need to eat. Those also are now the misconceptions that really people have, which is a wrong misconception.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, one of the key objectives of this year's World Diabetes Day is promoting healthy lifestyle choices, which is something that you also mentioned. What are some of the simple lifestyle changes that people can make to prevent diabetes?
First of all, physical activity.
Yeah.
We need to exercise. That is for not only for diabetes, but for the well-being of everybody. Avoid alcohol as much as possible. Avoid smoking. Eat more vegetables and fruits. Drink a lot of water. Just have a balanced meal. But I want to caution when we talk about balanced meal. What is balanced meal?
Yeah.
Because people don't understand when we talk about a balanced meal. So in my diabetes sense or language, when we talk about a balanced meal, we say less carbohydrates. Less carbohydrates. If you're eating maybe your pap or your rice or your macaroni or pasta, it should be just the size of your fist.
The size of my fist?
Yes, the size of your fist.
Oh, what if it's the only thing that I'm eating with some with some meat? That size of my fist is not big enough.
You can eat it. You can eat small portions.
Oh, okay.
But for a plate, you divide your plate in three.
Uh-huh.
So the quarter, one quarter is now your fist of your carbohydrates.
Yeah.
And then when you are eating your meat, only a size of your hand palm. Your hand palm meat is the size of your a piece of meat.
Of your meat.
And then, yes.
I'm a kwanyama. We kwanyamas eat.
Yes. Yeah, but you want to eat healthier, isn't it? And then you have, now this half of the plate should be now vegetables.
Uh-huh.
Yes, with a lot of water.
Okay, right?
So that is now what we call about a balanced meal, right? A balanced diet.
Yeah.
And then also water is very, very good.
Mm.
People should also avoid sugar and stuff, fizzy drinks as much as possible, not to drink it every day.
Yeah.
And also my drivers, people that are driving, a caution to them really, the energy drinks.
Yeah.
They should really try to cut out on energy drinks.
Uh-huh.
Especially you find people, the taxi drivers, people, the younger drivers, the long distance drivers, people are into these energy drinks.
Yeah.
So it will damage, because there is a lot of caffeine in that.
Okay.
It will damage your heart vessels as well. It will also damage your kidneys at the end of the day, and also you can also get diabetes because of that.
Yeah. And I was about actually to go to that and ask, are there any common food? You mentioned now drinks. Are there common food that people should avoid, or maybe include more? You mentioned already the fruits, the vegetables, and things like that. You know, especially now, maybe looking at what what kind of food or common food that people should avoid? Normally that we have, that we should be very careful about.
Yeah, a very, very important question. The food that you find, you know, let me say people that are working class.
Yeah.
We don't have time to cook at home. So they will grab something on the go when they come back from work. So we like to eat takeaway. And we like junk food. So we need to avoid that. Avoid or reduce those type of food. And then also reduce on the processed food. If you can avoid it, that will be a plus.
Like canned food?
Tin food, Russians, your smokies, your whatever, those processed food, Russians, that class.
Yeah.
That was in those type of food, okay? They are higher in salt, they are also higher in fat.
Yeah.
And then the preservatives that comes with it. And then we should also try to minimize on our sugar intake. When we drink our teas or coffees, start bringing it without sugar. Start with reducing to one spoon until you cut it totally out. Because sugar does not only lead to obesity, but it can also cause inflammation of the other organs of the body as well.
That would be a challenge of cutting out completely.
Yeah, because you can get your sugar from other stuff.
Yeah.
If I said you can get sugar from your fruits, you can get sugar from your bread, you can get sugar from your pap.
Yeah.
You can get sugar from elsewhere, apart from the table sugar that we are using.
Okay.
And the other, while we are also there, for our people that have diabetes, please let them cut out of sugar.
Completely.
But people that are injecting themselves, they need to have a sweet in their pockets or in their bread bank.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they are injecting, their sugar levels can go down.
Yeah.
And can be revived by a smoothie.
Very small. Sweet,
or it's a bawan or something like that.
Okay.
They should avoid drinking sugary things like fruits. They're not fruits, but the juices. People will say, no, I drink 100% juice.
Yeah?
But that juice has a mixture of different types of fruits.
Yeah, it's
so
processed.
So you see 100% orange.
Mm.
There are 15 oranges in that 1 liter. But you are only allowed to eat one orange per day.
Yeah. Mm.
So if you are drinking now that 100% that you are telling yourself it's 100%, you are eating now 14 oranges.
Oranges,
it will increase your sugar levels.
Uh-huh.
And they must also avoid this tab. And they must just drink a lot of water. And while we are also on that one, I want to also give information to my Oswambo speaking people that our staple food is mahangu pap. So mahangu pap is a strong, it's nutritious, it's a strong carbohydrate.
Mm.
But if you have diabetes and you eat mahangu, 2 hours later, your sugar levels will shoot up in the sky.
Mm.
So they should minimize or reduce the portions.
They can
eat their mahangu every day. Yes, they can eat their mahangu pap every day, but in smaller portions.
We probably have one meal and then it should be like a mountain.
Yes,
we don't see each other.
A mountain for the whole day, we need to change the mindset.
Uh-huh.
So don't eat for the whole day. We can eat in small portions.
Okay? Yeah.
Small portions. You can still eat your favorite stuff, but you can eat it in smaller portions and not to eat for the whole day, but just for smaller portions.
You guys have to make a manual for us, exactly. You know.
Yeah.
Now, on the World Diabetes Day, you will be part of the national commemoration at the UN UN Plaza. What can people expect at this event?
Yeah, very, very good. We are going to have a lot of activities that is going to happen on that day. A lot of speakers as well and guests, and our special guest will be patients with diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
We also going to have the mother that is going to talk also about give information how she released care for her type 1 or for a child with diabetes, and also a doctor. Doctors will also be there to diffuse now that every day about the about the condition. But our highlight is to have that the patient talking about their experiences, somebody young and also somebody school going age.
Okay.
Just to come and share. And then we're also going to have the governor is going to be there as well. And of course, then our minister will be there as well. Screening. Before I go also.
Yeah.
We are also going to have screening.
Yeah.
For people that want to be screened for diabetes.
Okay.
So there's going to be a screening session as well.
All right. So now, besides this date, this World Diabetes Day, do you what are your diabetes campaign awareness campaign in Namibia, especially in communities and schools?
Yeah, well, for on the school side, we have the school outreach programs from Comas Regional Directorate, where they go out to the schools when they are visiting the schools. They also then include the information about diabetes, about healthy diet, and about just healthy living to prevent then these young people from becoming diabetes. And then also we have also integrated care where we include screening for people. Mm-hmm. So everybody that visits the clinics should be also screened there and not to wait when they are having symptoms. So we want everybody to be screened when visiting, whether you are coming just to collect your treatment, whether you are just coming there for any other reasons, you need to be also screened for diabetes. If prevention is better than cure.
Yeah, no, definitely. Do people that are suffering from diabetes experience some kind of stigma? I'm asking this because I'm also thinking of what is the support system that are in place for people maybe living with diabetes in Namibia, and do family members and or friends who are living with that, who have people living with diabetes, how do they better support their loved ones in managing those conditions? So I'm kind of looking at that broader perspective, if there are stigmas and what is the support system for the people that are managing this condition.
Yeah, a very, very important stigma, not only in the communities, but we also find it in the workplaces, where that's why the theme of this year as well is also diabetes at the workplace, which is also in, one of the themes also.
Yeah.
We will also want people to be taken care of. The support system is very, very important. Remember, I said in the beginning that it can lead to anxiety and also depression.
Yeah.
So these people need psychological support.
Mm.
And then on that note also, they need support from the family members. If the family members understand the condition, they will be in a better position to assist their people in their house.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if a relative or somebody that lives with somebody with diabetes knows that, let me go and wake up this person, he's not waking up, or it's past 8 and the person is not yet awake, they should understand that, okay, there's something wrong. The people will quickly go and say, okay, and look and see, okay, are you okay? Greet the person and so on. And if the person is not responsive, they will be, quicker to assess the situation. So when we talk about the support system, is to educate then the relatives or the person who is supporting the person with diabetes, for them to know what are the danger signs if this person does not wake up.
Mm.
And in Europe, people have we call it dog friends. that awake the owner.
Yeah.
If the person is not awake, then the dog will take care, will know what to do. So they are trained. So we can also train our own people to take care of their own. Because if we have a better support system, and the quality of life immediately changes, and we are going to prolong also the quality life of this person.
Mm.
So it's very, very important. And also the support system in terms of, I only know about the type 1s. There is a support group for type 1s.
Yeah.
That once a month they come together and then they share their experiences. They have activities together for the whole day, sports, and just informative, and just to network. That's what for type 1s I know, but for the type 2s, because these are young adults and the elderly, for now, I haven't heard about it, but I only know about the type 1s. I was also heading one where we assist the type 1s to live a healthier life and to live their life normally. Mm. Because we as much as we can do much, if they are also not involved themselves, we are not doing justice to them. So we need to involve them in whatever activities or in whatever support we do. We need to involve the person with diabetes. That's why the self-management of diabetes starts first with the patient before it goes out to the community.
Yeah. So now, when we talk about the a better diabetes care in Namibia, what do you think is the biggest barrier to a better diabetes care in Namibia, and how can we overcome that?
Yeah, the lack of monitoring equipment, as I mentioned earlier, the machines and straps, that is most common barrier to better care. Because a person who has this equipment and who understands and who is educated about the condition and who accepts also their condition. Remember, you need to be acceptive of your condition for you to be able to live better. If you are not accepting, so it starts with the person first before we go to barriers. Because barriers of like equipment will not make you better if you don't accept your condition as a person.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to live a better life yourself. So barriers first, we start within ourselves. The acceptance. So acceptance. And then we go then to the other systems. And also stakeholders. We need to have stakeholders also to come on board and to assist government. Because government cannot do these things alone. We need the support from the private sector, from the community, from the business people, whoever is there for the paid people. I'm always saying the community that we live in, we support the business in our communities.
Yeah.
So these businesses and stakeholders must come on board. Or when we are approaching them, they must come on board because at the end of the day, they are benefiting from the communities.
Mm.
So they also have the social responsibility to follow in terms of meeting the government halfway.
Yeah. Well, before I let you go, what message do you have for Namibian who may not yet recognize the seriousness of diabetes, especially maybe in its early stages?
Yes, very, very important. I will talk about the symptoms of diabetes.
Yeah.
What do you feel when for us to suspect that you might have diabetes? That is increased thirst. You are constantly thirst. Even in the cold, you feel you want to drink something. You are constantly urinating, even if you are not drinking a lot of water. Extreme hunger. You are always hungry. Even if you have eaten 30 minutes ago, you will want to eat again something. That is increased hunger. And also tiredness. You are just tired. You are not doing anything. When you wake up, you are just tired. You have lack of energy.
Yeah.
And also a blurred vision. Most of the time, the clinical symptoms, it's like your thirstiness, urinating a lot, and also hunger, and then blurred vision. Most of our clients, when they come to the clinic, then they complain of blurred vision.
Yeah.
They see double. And then we have now this exceptional weight loss. Somebody's not on a weight loss diet, but then the person is just losing weight. Those are these classical symptoms of diabetes. And sometimes people also, when they go to the clinics, then they are already having complications. Like the wound that is not healing for some time. And then maybe when they are going there also, they've already increased blood pressure, it's already higher, and they also have too much cholesterol, which is too much fat in the bloodstream as well. And that's why we said you must reduce your fat on the salt content and so forth.
Yeah.
And they might just go for checkup as well. They need to go for checkup on a yearly basis.
Yeah.
Know your numbers. I always tell the people, know your numbers.
Yeah.
More of the times people go to the for screening, and then they, when you ask what are the figures, then they say, no, I was not told the figures, I was just told it's normal. But that normal can also be pre-diabetes, alright?
Yeah.
So they need to know their numbers, because you have a lot of pre-diabetes. You are in between. You are not higher, it's not normal. It's just in between. We call it pre-diabetes, and you need to do something before it goes to diabetes.
Yeah.
And then also, if you have blood pressure, get your blood pressure controlled. Get your cholesterol levels checked as well. And then drink a lot of water and exercise more.
Sister Samuel, thank you for really making time to talk to us this morning, and also for making sure that our nation actually it's aware of this challenge, and we hope that the diabetes day would help to provide that kind of information to our people as well. Is it only happening in Windhoek, or is this something happening in other communities as well?
No, it's happening in across all 14 regions of the country. So wherever there is a clinic on that day, you can just go and get a screen.
Yeah.
It's just a finger prick, which is not so.
Yeah.
So please go out there in your own communities, in your own clinic, in your own neighborhood, all the regions. The day will be commemorated across the country.
All right. No, thank you for coming through, and we'll probably definitely reach you again to discuss more on other aspects that we may not cover today. So thank you for coming through.
Yeah, thank you so much, and thank you to the listeners as well.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. There's Sister Samuel from the Central Hospital in Windhoek. Helping us to understand. So helping us to understand what is diabetes all about as we prepare to commemorate the Diabetes Day, World Diabetes Day, that's coming up on the 14th of November, just next week. So, all right. So, yeah, no, if you a diabetic person, if you're a person with this condition and you would like to share your experience, please do so. Because others may actually, may actually learn from your experience and how you manage this condition. So our telephone number, 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So if you would like to share your experience, how you manage in the condition, or just your knowledge of this condition. So 08333-66091 after this commercial break.
Save the date for November 26, 2025, when all registered voters head to the polls for the regional councils and local authorities elections. Your voice matters, and your vote is your voice. Head to your nearest polling station and elect your leaders. Remember, every vote counts. Get involved. Put your voice in the box. Vote on November 26, 2025.
Yes, make sure that you go for the vote. Please make sure that you register to actually be able to vote in November. Actually, this month, towards the end of this month. So welcome back. Welcome back. And as I said, so if you are following the interview and you have questions, I may not be able to answer all your questions, but there are a few things that I have taken note of. So yeah, you have further information that you would like to, that you would like to provide, or you actually suffering from this condition that you would like also to share with our listeners here and with your fellow Namibians. So you can do that. Our telephone number, 08333-66091. 08333-66091. And we're coming live to you from the Ondangwa studio. All right, let's have a quick musical break. Slowly by Mendy. And we'll be back. Thank you.
believe in love. How crazy it could be. Paper babies talk. Take it easy. When you would leave, I swear I can't breathe. She make me fall in love. Darling, darling, if you take me one more time, I might lose my mind. Your beauty's too much here. Can we go slowly? Cause I can't take it. Attention, cause you got my affection, baby, baby, and so good to teach ya, teaching us step by step on the beat, put your night hand, in the street.
Yeah, because I can't take it. It's too much. The feeling is too much, you know. Very good morning. Good morning to you. It's a Saturday morning. You know, wherever you find yourself. And if you are still sleeping, come on, man. Come on, girl. Get up. Get up. You can't sleep until that time. Unless you just adjust. Unless you went to bed around 8. And what were you doing? Oh, if you were working during the night and went to bed now, yeah, I can understand. You're not even hearing me. Anyway, so you must be sleeping. But if you are in bed, if you're still in bed, it's time to get up. It's time to face the day, my friend. Good morning and welcome to Mind Matters. This is the program where we actually focus on your mind. Okay. We just have an interview with Sister Samo on diabetes. Our discussion was in preparation of the World Diabetes Day that is coming up on the 14th of November. Just to give us a little bit to give us information and what you expect on that day. One of the things that is being done is a screening. So you will be screened for free. So make sure that you go there and have yourself screened just to see. It's always good to check. You have a clinic maybe closer to you, not far away from you. So you can go there, have yourself screened, and see where you stand in terms of that, you know. So, yeah, she talks about a lifestyle. You know, we need to live a lifestyle, a balanced diet, kind of a lifestyle that would help us actually to prevent, getting this condition. And sometimes some of the things are very small, man. The kind of meal that you said, you know, some of us would like just, you just cook once and you cook a mountain. Apparently, that's not a good idea. You know, that's not a good idea. Or what you need to cook small portions during the course of the day, not just one, you know, one mountain and then, you know, that's not good. All right. So, yeah, hopefully you were listening. Hopefully you are following. Very, very good information. The balance that you are talking about in terms of sugar level in your bloodstreams. So those are very important information for you to prevent diabetes. So good morning and welcome. And if you want to focus on that, you're most welcome to do that as well. Otherwise, we also go to something that I have introduced at the beginning when we started. Those are three principles that I was talking about. So, but you're most welcome if you want to come in and talk about diabetes. You could be something that really you're concerned about. As I said, if there are information that you may want us, that I personally, I wouldn't have even much information on that anyway. So that's why I was, you know, my best position was asking questions. Yeah. So, anything that you come up with, which we cannot be able to discuss here, or maybe something that you really ask, I will jot that down and we will have again. We will have again and go maybe deeper into that area that you were thinking of or that you have a question about. So, yeah, don't stay with confusion and lack of information by not asking that question, by not, you know, so do that. We will be able to help you to do that. Okay. That's why we're here, to help you. That's why Eagle FM is here, you know, to help you. All right. And give you this information that is very, 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 very important, for your health. All right. So, and what we talk about as well is also for your well-being of your mind. So, and how you respond, we talk about, you know, emotional response. We talk about, you know, how you deal with emotions. And there are three principles that I was talking about from the very beginning. One is that the way you feel is entirely your own doing. So what I'm trying to say with this principle, two things. One is that, so it's not what other people or situation or circumstances or event or issues. It's not what actually not circumstances that are doing to you. It's not, you're not a victim of circumstances. So you have a choice. You know, and if you choose to be affected, if you choose to respond, the way you choose to respond to that event, it's absolutely your decision. Okay. Whether you know it knowingly, whether you know that you are doing, whether you know it or you don't, because sometimes you kind of feel like you're a victim of the situation, but it's still actually a choice that you make. You make a choice to be a victim of the situation. So that, it's absolutely, as I said, it's entirely your own doing. Now, the good thing is that when you understand that and recognize that, is that I actually have the power. I'm the one who have the power to choose how I want to feel. Yeah, very simple. I have the power to choose how I want to feel. No matter the circumstances are, no matter what other people are saying, no matter, you know, the issues are. So, but in some ways, that you may have actually developed, as we hear, we're talking about psychological pattern or social pattern. or factors that affect how you then decided how to think, how to feel, and how to behave. And those, what are the things that we're going to look at? Your personality, we're going to look at your perception, we're going to look at your, the social influence or cultural influence that might actually affect that. So, and the other principle then is also our emotional response, how you respond then is actually shaped or influenced by our conditioning. And definitely conditioning is things that I was talking about, also mentioning now. The experience that you went through in life actually condition how you respond emotionally. Your social condition, your peer groups, your culture, your whatever, your social norms, your social status, whatever the case may be, how you see yourself, definitely all that, and how were you brought up, all that actually influence your response, your emotional response, influences your emotional response. And the good thing about that I want you to understand is that the way I respond to things, the way I respond to, you know, whatever the event, issues and all things, is not the same as the other person. And in that way, you develop an empathetic understanding, given that you understand that you won't respond to issues the same. So that would also encourage you to want to listen. You want to listen to other people because you don't just want to see it in the way you are, because the other person is coming from completely different background, different experience, and different societal norms. So that is the recognition that I want you to think. And the other thing is then, as I said, your emotional response is 100%. Your response to situation, to event, to circumstances, to issues is 100%. You're in your control. And that's actually a good news. Once you understand that my response to circumstance, my response to adversity, my response to situation, events and all that, it's 100% in my control. So then definitely that's a good news. That means I can decide how I want to feel. I can decide how I want to respond to any situation. So that's actually the good news. That's the evangelion, okay? That's the good news. That's the gospel, okay? So that's the gospel I'm bringing you. Now, let's get into this. How does your personality, for example, how does your personality, your traits, your character influences your behavior? Does your personality influences your behavior? Does your personality influences your interaction with other people? Eh? So what type of person are you? What traits do you, okay, even for yourself now, okay? What traits are you proud of? Okay? What traits, what personality, what characters, what quality, you know, are you proud of yourself? And, you know, do this quality help define your unique individual? Eh? Do this quality, do this characteristic, these traits, do they help to define your unique individual? Are you the person that referred to, that person is arrogant, or this person is selfish, that person is entitled, that person is negative, that person is stubborn, that person is insecure, that person is manipulative, that person is jealousy, that person is kind, that person is, you know? So these are the qualities that we talk about. These are the characteristics. Now my question is, do they help to define you as a unique individual? So, and when people refer to you by these qualities, it comes out through your character comes out through what? It comes out through your behavior. It comes out through what you're saying, how you behave, how you conduct yourself. So your influence, your character, and how do you develop character? How did you come to develop character? So definitely goes back to what we're talking about. So your character could be conditioned from what you went through, from your experience. So let's say, for example, you were born ignorant. You were born someone in a loving family, okay? And you know what is love is all about. And then you get into a relationship where you get hurt. You know, you get in one, the first relationship, you're traumatized by that relationship or something like that. And then you get into another one. Maybe it was just a mistake in the one, the same thing. Maybe it was more abusive and what, you know. So what do that experience in itself can actually now develop a character in you, isn't it? Now, so that character now, so see this now, this is what I want you to understand. Now, this character that emerged from this abuse, it becomes a character that actually say, I'm not going to allow anybody. I'm not going to, if it's a man or a woman, I'm not going to allow a man walk over me anymore. You know, or men, I'm not going to trust him anymore. Okay. Let's say, for example, you're this person. You create that now persona, that trait of not trusting. So do you see how? Yes. In some way, creating that trait, it's saving you. It's actually, it's kind of like a protection shield. It's a shield because now you have learned that being trustful have been actually hurt a couple of times. Now you develop the character of not trusting. So, and it's protecting you from being hurt if you were to pursue a relationship. But it's also, but what I want you to advance to understanding now is also then understanding your own trait, how it could be disadvantaging you. It's be able to be self-aware of, yes, this is, I'm this kind of person, and it came from this situation. Because you may be imaged in a character or in an arrogance way, which you don't even recognize that you are, in a selfish way, that coming from a situation that you were responding, that character emerges from what you went through. And normally we just have a way of our protecting ourselves. It's just that your experience taught you better, and your body and yourself, you develop that character now to protect yourself. But in protecting yourself, you also limiting yourself. Do you understand? You're limiting yourself from being happy. You're limiting yourself from exploring life. You're limiting yourself from expanding. You know, now you are in the box. Okay? There are lines out there. As therefore, I stay in the box. You're not growing. All right? So, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, your character can play a role in shaping how you now, so now, how you perceive the world. So, your character now, that emerged from what experience you ever had, whatever experience that you had, can now shape, can play a role of shaping how you perceive the world. Now, it's how you perceive the world, then it's how you respond to the situation, and also how you interact with others. So, you following? So, that experience, that what you went through create this character. And that character now, through that character, it's how you see the world. So you have, say, when you have a man who says, women are, what is the word? What is the common? Women are gold diggers, for example. Okay? So if you have a man who have now a belief that women are gold diggers, it's something that he developing that perception coming from what he have experienced. All right. So now perceiving women in that way would also then, remember what I said? So would then determine how you behave, towards people. So this is where now you actually have to ask yourself, as I said, it influences your behavior. So your behavior is coming from a certain perception that comes from a certain experience in which you develop a character. So do you understand? So now, the very important things is this now. You know, the character that you have developed, okay, is it actually helping you in becoming a better relationship, a better communication person, a better, in actually creating a better relationship, in actually a better interaction with other people? Is it, it does it do that? So find now the main thing here, what I want you to actually go into is actually, what kind of person are you? What kind of traits have you developed? Where are they coming from? I want you to go back there, kind of look at you. What trait do you possess? What characteristic do you possess? Sometimes don't fool yourself. You know, most of us, there was an argument I have. Somebody said, you know, I'm this type of person. I'm kind. We all, you, and we never mentioned the other part. Because there aren't a moment where we are just kind. There are also moments where we are rude. There are moments where we are very generous, giving, considerate. But there are also moments where we are selfish and really, you know, yeah. But then understand that, where does it come from? When I understand where does it come from, I will learn how to manage that. But when you completely think you are not that, you actually ignorantly act in a way that you may not even aware of. So now, what is shaping your perception? What is shaping your perception? What is how you perceive the world? What is that? What is that shaping your world? The perception, the how you see the world, how you see others, and how you see yourself. So, how does that affect how you respond or even react? So, because some of us may have developed that pattern of reacting rather than of responding. So, and then how does that, you know, that shape your way you respond to situation and the way you react and interact with other people as well. So it's very important, kind of reflect on you. So, and we're talking about perception, how our perception actually shape our reality and influences our interaction with the world. How does it, our perception? Now, one thing is that, remember, what is real is what you perceive. Eh? So, and this is sometimes do you tell me that, you know, what is real to you? And this is something that you take it to the bank. I always say it's something that you can't change. You know, other people can tell you whatever they can tell you, what is the truth, what is reality. But reality is only what you can perceive. That's what is reality for you. You know? If you cannot perceive it in the way, if you can't see it, you can only see it in your way. Do you understand? The reality is only what you see. Now, so it doesn't mean what you see is truthful, though. Your reality may be based on a wrong information, on a wrong input. Okay? If there is a wrong input, then the input that you put in generate the outcome. So your perception would only base by the input that you have put in it. All right? So if you only, what are you consuming? Let's say, for example, you are just listening to gossip. You're constantly listening to gossip. You you're constantly on social media. You follow people that are just talking about people who are being witched, who are being what you know. What would you be mostly talking about? I have seen this. You have people who just focus on that. So you go to church because you have some people who go to certain churches, and all what is being spoken there is how, you know, devil that works in your life, and all that kind of things. And all the people they see, or what you see, is based on what you focus on. It's based on what you're feeding yourself. So if it's a rubbish that you put in, that's why I said your reality is what you perceive. If it's a rubbish that you consume, you are more likely to produce rubbish. If the input you're putting in is the output that you produce. So, and what kind of input that you're actually feeding your perception? What input are you feeding your brain? You're feeding your mind. So there are a few things, you know, and most of the time, this is how we work.
Democracy
most of us work in that way.
There are all of us,
in some way or another, unless then you have pay attention to it.
Contribute.
We have some selective
democracy
attention.
By being active participants, okay? And voting in the upcoming regional council
so
and local
there are
authority
certain information
elections
that we
on 26
notice,
November,
and there are certain information
2025.
That we don't.
Let's play our part. Get involved. Put your voice in the box.
So for some of you, what I'm talking about might be really too much, just too much to comprehend. Then if I started talking about, you know, politics, if I start talking about religion, then you're up. So, and if I start talking about sex,
democracy thrives through participation, and we all want a thriving democracy, don't we? Let's all contribute to a thriving democracy by being active participants and voting in the upcoming regional council and local authority elections on 26 November 2025. Let's play our part. Get involved. Put your voice in the box.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every month.
Maybe then you're, So you see, that's a selective attention. And that also influences what we're putting in. Because you then constantly find yourself, or if you talk about soccer... that's where you pay attention to. Do you understand? So there could be, I always said, you know, certain things passes us by because that's not where our focus are. Do you understand? Because that's not where our focus are. We become more selective to the things that we are more interested in. So once we have selected a certain stimuli, so we interpret and give a meaning to them based on our now, based on our past experience, based on our beliefs, based on our values, based on our cultural beliefs or background. So you understand, all right? We select the stimuli or whatever, how you pronounce stimuli. And then we interpret. When we interpret, then we give it a meaning. We give a meaning to them. And the meaning that we give it's actually based on our past experience. You can only take from within. You only take what is within you with what you have gathered already. So whether in terms of your experience, whether in terms of your beliefs, whether in terms of your values, whether in terms of, you know, yeah. So we're looking at the same thing, and we're talking about perception now. We're looking at the same thing, and we have a variety of interpretation. Now, the main point here is for you to understand that your reality, that your reality is unique to you. And then your reality may actually be based on untruthful evidence. One can put it that way. It will be just based on, you may have a belief that is not true. You may have a value that is not true. You may have a, you know, yeah, things like that. So let's say, for example, I'm driving. I'm just get out of the house, and then a black cat just ran in front of my car. So then I started to think, let's say, maybe that's my cultural belief now that, oh, this is actually, things are not, and I'm planning it to go and do certain things, and kind of like, things are not going to happen, are not going to go well, because just a black cat ran in front of me. Do you understand? That in itself now would changes the way I would do things. It changes my behavior. But would that really have, does that have really any effect at all? Is that really truthful, scientifically? Or whatever, spiritually, or whatever you may call it? So, do you understand? Oh, or certain experience, okay? Just because you have gone that, just because you have gone through that experience at one point, it doesn't necessarily make it true all the time. So we're talking about trusting. You have been in a relationship that has really, you know, where you have abused and you feel that you cannot trust a woman or a man anymore. Now, as that a perception, as that a reality now, as that a reality has become a value for you. So, is that true all the time? But now your behavior would actually be based, now your behavior is actually based on that experience. So the whole idea here is to evaluate values and beliefs and the meaning that we attach to things, that are they really helping us to grow, or they keep us stuck? And remember, the emotions you find yourself, the kind of emotion that you feel, that you have, it's all you're doing. All right? If you interpret that someone is hating you, okay, that person hates me, so how would your reaction would be? How would your emotion would be? So do you understand? That's what I'm talking about. So, and this is all about looking at how do we create a emotional well-being, a mental well-being, that we are not responsible for that. Because much of that, you are responsible for your own mental health. It depends on what you create. It depends on what you went through. And if that become the value of judgment of the decision that you make, that experience become the value of judgment of the decision you make, of the choices you make, of how you want to feel, then that's on you. That's on you. So there are also things, okay? There are also, I'm just bringing it up here, what we're referring to as, because I was talking about earlier on of what is it, selective attention. There are also the confirmation, something that's called a confirmation bias, a bias pattern of thinking. You know, you're favoring certain informations that confirm with what you believe. Do you understand? You have that values, but you only confirm and you don't give any chance to anything outside of your belief. because it's disturbing the value you hold, the belief you hold. So let's say, for example, anybody now, you say you can't trust a man, you can't trust a woman, whatever the case may be. If someone come and tell you, you know, you need to trust, you know, I trust my partner, you kind of like, you would be against that. You understand? You would be probably saying, yeah, just because you don't know what they're doing, you come up with all any other things to actually, you know, disqualify the trust this person have. So you understand? You had to find a confirmation in any case, which actually bias, because it only confirm your existing. You're only looking for what is confirming your existing belief, your existing values. So let's say, for example, you're a Christian or you're Muslim or something like that. So anything that the other person would say, you would reject because it doesn't confirm the information. You're only looking for the information that actually support what you believe. And if it doesn't, you throw it away. And you live in this pocket, in this bias pattern of thinking. So why am I bringing it here? Why am I'm talking about it? Is that sometimes in a mental condition that we find ourselves is because we only focus on a certain pattern of thinking that actually produces that kind of emotion within you. This is where I want you now to evaluate. This is where I want now to check, you know, check yourself. Go to that check meter. What is that things you check? All right? So we have to understand that our emotion strongly influences our perception. It strongly influences our emotion, our perception, and the other way around. Okay? So, and something maybe we're looking at as well, our social and cultural factors contribute significantly to our perception. The way you see things actually come through your social interaction, your social, as I said earlier on, what you put in, what is that you consume on a daily basis. Eh? If you consume rubbish, and it's funny, you know. Now, if you want to know what people consume, just have a conversation with them. Eh? Just have a conversation with them. So especially when we live in the world where things are made easier for you, you know, you consume just any rubbish. So you find that you can't have any conversation with this person. Absolutely nothing. Or the kind of the things that they consume, the rubbish they consume, would come out. Now, simply what I'm saying is that, okay, our perception collectively, you know, contribute to the construction of our personal reality. All right? So it influences our attitude, it influences our beliefs, it influences our behavior, shaping how we engage with ourselves and with the world around us. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. All right? 20 minutes, 40 minutes past the hour of 12. So let's have a quick, you know, breather. Let's have a breather. And we will be back. So, yeah. Have a quick music break, and we will be back.
Yeah. Now which kind of life where I never see? I carry God so I fear nothing. Steady increase in the commands. Comma, comma, comma. Original no be parody. You know be clear for your memory. Whether now winter or summer. I did my father's job and I'm living life. See my fire burning bright. Within the inside me. Small way they might see. They never know I color. No the move fine. Check and balance. Everything inside my mind daily.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. And if you're just joining us, this is Mind Matters, where we talk anything but minds, you know, and the process of your mind. So that you understand how your mind works. When you understand how your mind works, you'll be able to really, and I can tell you, you'll be able to live in peace. You will be able to, you know, to make decisions, you know, understanding the process. So it's like, you know, when you have a problem, when you have a car problems, if you don't understand how the system work, you wouldn't even know where to touch. You know, that's, you have the very same system within your brain, within your body. So, and unless you understand that system, how that the system work, you know, you will have a really, really, really frustrating life. And when you understand how your brain, the system of your brain, how it works, it will make things easier in how you deal with things that we're talking about and how you make decisions, okay? And how you make decision. Maybe that's one thing that we look at. What factors, okay? What factors really contribute to making irrational, for example, making irrational decisions? So have you ever made irrational decision? Most of the time we do. So otherwise we wouldn't be where we are. Sometimes we make right decision, but most of the time we make irrational decision. What are those factors? What are some of those factors? Well, sometimes it's excitement. Yeah. You know, you could be much excited and then you decided actually to go to bed without using any protection. Do you understand? Yeah, excitement can actually make you have irrational decision. So the other could be anger. You are so angry, you are so furious that you make a decision while you are angry. And, you know, what happened? You end up killing somebody. The next thing, when you wake up, you're already in jail. Now, when you come to your senses now, you're orimogakuma, my friend. So anger, excitement, fear, you know, you may actually make a decision, you know, an irrational decision because of fear. You're thinking, oh, so much, I have so much to owe, you know, I'm going to do, you know, and you do, and you make a decision based on your fear that, and you end your own life, you end your own life because of what you think you owe people. Eh? And they may come after me and do, I'd rather just end this. Okay? So you understand? So all these may, the thing is that this may, quite often it's override your thinking, your logical thinking. Override your logical thinking, resulting now in an impulse choices. You're making an impulse choices. That to not actually. Now, the problem is that whatever impulse choices you're making, it doesn't align with your long-term goals, because that's not what you want in the long term. Anyone, you can't sit here that, well, I think in 10 years or 20 years from now, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to end my own life. No, it's not in your long-term goals. That's why I said it's impulsive choices that do not really align with your long-term goals. So, yeah, you get excited and you might be still at school or whatever the case may be, and boom, you're pregnant. Oh my God. Now you have to leave schools. And do you understand? So the other things that probably factors that contribute to your making irrational decision could be the peer pressure, the influence of peer pressure. That can also lead to decision that prioritize more the social acceptance, being part of the group, over the rational analysis. You're not analyzing the situation better. You're actually making a decision based on the priority of social acceptance, that I am accepted by the group. And this is something that you need to, you know, to think very, very, very carefully. So, and this all goes to those principles that we're talking about. So sometimes you make that decision based, you find yourself not happy, but because of the peer pressure, you're prioritizing social acceptance. And what do you end up? You end up now, you know, looking for validation. And that can become a pattern. That's why you constantly now, looking for validation through this, you know, through this more social media. Eh? And one thing that maybe that is not often spoken is the, and there are a lot of people now don't reach this kind of maturity. Emotional maturity. We have older people, we have people that are old, that they have never really developed that emotional maturity. You understand? The lack of skills and ability to make a decision. You're not emotionally mature. And have you heard about the, what is that called? What is that? I always to remember that. I always have to think of kettle. Head, you see, head mentality, yeah. You make choices based on the action of others rather than on a careful evaluation of the situation. You understand? It's more like, as I said, you know, peer pressure. So what makes us make irrational decision, irrational choices, exhaustion as well, you know, or mental fatigue? Mental fatigue can also be a problem. It can hinder your ability now to think critically, which most people don't do anyway. You fatigue because you're mentally, you know, bombarded with so many things. And you find it actually difficult to make sound choices. You even take it to social media to help you actually make a decision. Oh my good Lord. Yeah, so, yeah, or even maybe you want an immediate reward. You want, you know, you're more focused. We become people that are instant. You know, we want things instant. We want things to happen now because we live in the world of click. You know, car and everything is there. We live in that world of a click and instant, you know, answer is there. So that's how we want everything now in life. So immediate reward over a long-term benefits that can lead to more irrational decisions. Eh? So people are becoming impatient anymore because we want immediate reward because of the click nation. All right. So what do you think? We still have about 9 minutes, you know, left. Don't leave it up to me, you know. Come through if you want to. Earlier on, we talked about diabetes, the world at World Diabetes Day. That's coming up on the 14th of November. It will be at UN Plaza in Windhoek. You may actually have a free screening. So make sure that you go for screening there. And you can go on the same day. You can go to any clinic in the country. You will be able to to be screened for free. So make sure that you take that advantage to see if you're suffering, you know, from diabetes condition. All right. So what is your take? What is your take of what we're discussing so far? So please do come through and and have your opinion. And as I said, if you're actually experiencing these conditions and you want to share, you know, how to manage that, please, you're most welcome to do that. 0833-66091, 0833-66091. All right. So let's have another, music commercial. A break, musical break. Yeah, we're going to have Chidimna coming to you, Fall in Love.
Baby, oh, baby, I'm gonna try. Me and you're not.
All right, welcome back. That's Dimna. Falling in love. Yeah, so I made up my mind for you. I'm falling in love with you, and I made up my mind for you. So, and I'm not going to let it go. All right. So our time is about 3 minutes left. Someone brought me a message. How do we manage our stress? Man, you sent this too late. How do we manage our stress? Okay. So, yeah, I have 3 minutes. I have 2 minutes, actually. So before I hand over to my colleague, Elizabeth, how do we manage our stress? Understand what are the sources. What are the sources of your stress in your daily life? Okay. So what is the sources of your stress? And first understand this. What is the stress? Where is the stress coming from? Because when you know the source of the stress, then there are three things that you can do. So one, it's you can be able then to avoid the stress, to avoid the stressor. The other thing is then, the second thing is to change the stressor, to be able to change it. If something that you can be able to change, then be able to change that. Or if it's not something that you can be able to change, you know, you accept it. So you understand? There are three things, you know. Either is completely, you know, avoid, you know, being in touch, being in contact with what gives you stress. But let's say, for example, okay, being with these friends are the one that actually caused me to, you know, to drink. And then when I drink, I end up actually doing things that are not aligned with my goals in life, and that make me really, 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 you know, mad and with myself and all that. So that's why I said one strategy is avoid things that stresses you. If alcohol stresses you, avoid them. If that person stresses you, avoid them. That's one strategy. All right. And I'm not talking about things now. As I said, you come a little bit late. I'm just giving you something quickly. All right? So the other thing is then change it, alter it. Actually, there are three A. The one is avoid. Second is alter. Alter means change it. You know, if something you don't like it giving you stress, change it. You know, move on to something else. That change it. If you can change it, change it. So that it doesn't cause you that stress anymore. All right. So if it's somebody, talk to them. And then if they don't want to change, if they don't want to actually, you know, change their position or whatever the case may be, then you change. Okay. You move on or you get, you know. So, and then the other thing is that maybe there are certain things that you can't change. So you just have to accept. It's acceptance is also a way of coping, you know. Three A's, avoid, alter, mean change it, and accept it. So those one of the things that you can be able to do. And I'm just giving you this in a quick way because you come towards the end of the show to write me a WhatsApp. All right, our time is 1 minute past the hour of one. And let me thank Sister Samuel. We had an interview earlier on. Thank you, Sister, for coming through, for making time and be able to talk to us, giving us those very, very, very important informations. And if you are very busy and you didn't listen to the interview, it has to do with diabetes. And also the World Diabetes Day that is coming up. Make sure that you go to our podcast, look for Mind Matters for today, and then listen to the interview. It's very, 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 very interesting. And also, nobody came through. Yeah. And thank you for listening. And I know that you're listening. So thank you for listening and continue to listen to other programs that are coming your way, you know, including now, what is we crossing now to Windhoek, to Elizabeth World, that is coming up. Well, for me, Michael Chiavelli, I wish you a very good afternoon still, and a good Sunday ahead, good Saturday afternoon and Sunday ahead. So, yeah, and for me, it's a goodbye until probably Monday, when we talk about unpacking the day. So, all right. So let me leave in a good hands of Yemi Alamide. Yemi Alade with Johnny. Okay? Bye. Have a good afternoon.